That peace, like it or not, is only going to be found in Christ and in this baby Jesus. And the peace, here's what, let me just read this. I just put, peace is possible, but only through the baby Jesus. You know, last week we talked about hope and the hope that we have in the Christ child and how we need to hold him and how uncomfortable that I have been holding babies. We went all over that. But this week it's about peace, and real peace is more than a truce from war. We will never have peace in this city, in this state, in this country, in this world, ever, until we have peace within. Because it's the peace that we find within that can strengthen us and motivate us, and that's exactly what God's plan, believe it or not, has been forever. Though we've seen war and war and war and war and war, and our battle really remains within us. God's plan for us has always been that we have peace. Here's where he said so in the Old Testament as a prophetic word for all of us. It says, Isaiah prophesying, in that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing, this is our song, our city is strong. We are surrounded by walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. You get that? All whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. God has always wanted to give us peace. In fact, when he gave the law, he gave these instructions to Aaron and them after he gave the law and all the intricacies of it and all the impossibilities of it. He tells them in Numbers, he says, then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, which are the priests, to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show his favor and give you his peace. There isn't, how many times that I've said, you know, sometimes I got to bite my tongue bloody. Biting my tongue bloody is not peace. Just because I keep my mouth shut, it still turmoil stirs in me. That's not peace. And especially in this Christmas season, and I love, that's what I love about Advent. We get to pause today for the next 30 minutes or whatever, and then we go back out to the real world where there is expectations of gifts and the frustration that we don't have enough to give and all these things, and it's complete and total turmoil. But I want you to see today, and we're going to chill today. Today is a wonderful day to understand the peace of Christ that the Word says passes all understanding, because it really does. And that's whether you have no peace in your home or no peace at your job or no peace inside your heart. You know, we all do very well at playing it. You know, how you doing, man? I'm doing good. Am I? Or is there turmoil? Am I walking in that peace? So let's try for the next few minutes to do that, to walk in this peace that God gave after the law. He told Aaron, y'all speak this over the people. Anyway, so God did something extremely radical to bring this peace, and we all know it was the Christ child, but here it is again, the prophetic word coming from, I believe it's Isaiah again. Yes, he was one of the greatest. Out of the stump of David, in other words, out of David's family, which is where Jesus was, will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And he will wear righteousness like a belt. What does that mean? His righteousness will protect the inside. And truth like an undergarment. And in that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. Not just get along, but live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion. And a little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear, and the cub and the calf will lie down together. And the lion will eat hay like a cow instead of meat of the cow. That's crazy to believe that. A little child will lead them all. I highlighted that because I believe he's talking about the Christ child, Jesus. Again, this is Christmas. Easter's coming with Jesus in all his power. But it's at this season of Christmas where this peace that passes all understanding, where we sing Silent Night, Holy Night, right? sleep in heavenly peace. So he did this radical thing, which was to bring the Christ child into the situation. So this peace that baby Jesus brings is more than just stopping the fighting. I give you an example. Gay and I were at Disney World this week, and you know, Disney World's the happiest place on earth, right? Well, not so much for some folks. For us, it is. It really is, other than walking 100 miles. But so we were at this dessert thing, and we got to go to the front and watch Jingle Bam, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. It's this really cool thing that Disney does. Well, there is this lady who had a child that was not born, that was born, I don't even know what the word, it's not autistic, but whatever, it's just couldn't keep itself and was, you know, yelling and stuff, and just, you know, just this child was just messed up. And Gay and I were talking about how awesome it was that this woman, that God trusted her with this child, because you could tell she loved this child, and she didn't care that the child might be interrupting other people around, you know. And so we moved to the front, and this other man comes walking up. I told Gabe prior to even me noticing this, that I felt in my spirit that he was a veteran. He walked up, and he was younger. I mean, he was probably in his mid-50s, probably. And he was walking with a cane. Anyway, don't really know what happened, but something was said between the mother of the child and this, what I believe is a veteran, and they exchanged words, and it got heated, and we had to get security there. And this is that peace on earth, goodwill to men. And so I don't ever do this, honestly, I don't, but I just felt strongly I needed to intervene. So I just went, there, a man and a woman was fixing to throw down, and actually she probably would have beat him, though he might have been a vet, you know. But I just stuck my head in, so if he's going to hit me, it'd have to be with his left hand, so it wouldn't hurt too bad, because I'm assuming he's right-handed. And I said, sir, and here's what he said. What she said to my grandchild, she shouldn't have said it. FYI, I had no idea what she said. But here's the words that came out of my mouth, and I promise they were God, not me. I said, I totally agree, sir, she shouldn't have said it. And that kind of threw him off a little bit. And every time he would point out something negative she did, I would say, yes, sir, you're right, but this really isn't the place. And he was getting frustrated. He was getting frustrated because I was agreeing with him. Amen. See, there's where we're at in the world. Whether you believe in Jesus, or you can be in here and you don't believe in Jesus. Whether you believe in him or you don't believe in him. In this world, that's where we're at. The only peace people think they can find is if somebody agrees with them. Now, the cool thing about that is, that kind of chilled the situation. Security got to leave, and then they ended up standing for a while, and then they went ahead and left because I have no idea what was said, and I'm sure it was ugly because they were fixing to throw down. But it woke up inside of my heart. Everything that people desire is found in Jesus. Everything. I want somebody who believes in me. Even if my opinion's wrong, I just want somebody who will affirm me. Like I affirmed that guy. She shouldn't have said that. You're right, sir. She really shouldn't have. And I don't know what she said, but she probably shouldn't have. But that's not the point. The point is, she had her issues. See, we all have issues, whatever we are, whoever we are. But we all have this desire in us for somebody to just believe in us. And here he stands, actually at Christmas, and here this baby lies. What a beautiful scene. That's why I'm convinced Jesus had to come as a baby. Had he come as a warrior, the peace that we would view would be the peace of using the sword to get peace. 16 million people died in World War I. Nobody ever really wins a war. But the war was over, so there's peace, is there? So here's the scenario where this baby Jesus comes in just a very interesting way to me. We talked about this last week because this is where we are. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, declared these angels, in the city of David. And you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby. I emphasized that last week. Got stuck there last week. I'm still stuck on the baby. See, because it's not only the baby of hope, it's the baby of peace. Wrapped in snuggling strips of cloth and lying in a manger. And then suddenly the angels were joined by a vast host of others. Wow. And the armies of heaven praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." That doesn't mean you have to line up for something, because God created us and is pleased with us. That's why it says in another translation, goodwill to all men. So therein lies, but here's what I want you to see in this peace scenario with this child. Bethlehem was a very small town outside of Jerusalem. And at this particular moment in time, it was packed with people because it was census time. Everybody, every single person had to come there and pay their taxes. So it was a mass exodus from all other cities to come to that one spot. It's like a Black Friday sale at Walmart, or, you know, the Mardi Gras or whatever. They do massive amounts of people here. So you get this. This is not a peaceful situation. This, because we kind of look at it like it is, because, well, he was born in a manger, which was basically more than likely born in a cave. But the reason he's in the cave is because there are so many masses of other people around. So you have this whole scenario. And again, everybody was there to go to the capital for their census. And then in the midst of all this frantic chaos, in the midst of all this Christmassy stuff, peace and tranquility was born. Do any of y'all, were any of your children, if you've had children, are any of your children like wild children? Seriously, let's be honest, raise them hand. I can raise them. You know, a couple of mine were chill, but we had one that was, you know. Let me put it this way. If I was going to discipline Charity, Charity never needed discipline. She actually could reason with us. And I can't name one time that I think we spanked her, Charity. Leah was a different varmint. And what I mean by that is she would do stuff, but she was so cute, you know what I'm saying? But she got a couple swats on occasion. Jake, here's the difference when I'm talking about a rambunctious child. If I was going to, well, again, we didn't have to discipline Charity, but if I was going to discipline Leah, it would do me no good to say, "You go in your room and you don't come out till I say so." Because she would stay in there for weeks. She would have every doll over here. She would, you know what I'm saying? She was a creative, imaginative mind. That is not punishment to her. But Jake, huge punishment. Son, you're going to stay in your room for 5 minutes. Truth, I'm not exaggerating. 5 minutes in your room. And he'd go in his room. And I could hear him in there just pacing. About 30 seconds in, "Dad, is it time?" "No." "You still have 4 minutes." It was the most miserable time for him ever. That's the child I'm talking about. The ones that just, you know, you're like, ah. But the only reason I say that, I want you to pick the one, or Dina, you might have like more than one, but pick one. And was it Ed? See, Mama's telling on you, even at your age, Mama's still telling on you. So go back then and remember this and tell me what you think. When they were asleep, do you hear the word? Precious. Ed, your mama just said you're precious. Well, no, I know. But do you see what I'm saying? There's something about, especially that wild child, there's something about viewing that child asleep. How many of you could, you couldn't help but lean over and kiss your child, hoping they don't wake up? You know, kidding. Oh, no, go back to sleep, please. I need sleep too. See, that's why Jesus had to come. That's why he had to come as a child. Because peace isn't just taking guns out of everybody's hands. Peace is something that happens inside. And what a great song that they did sing, Silent Night, Holy Night, All is Calm, All is Bright. It was not calm. And it was bright, surely goodness, man. They had the big old light. But it wasn't calm, it was crazy. Sleep in heavenly peace. That's the peace. Oh, I'm going to show you right here in Scripture just so you get it. But here's what I want you to see in the midst of all this thing is, here you have Mary. There's different scholars and different people who have determined how old she is. I assume most of them are some teenage, let's just go there, 17, 16, 17, maybe older, whatever. But here we have this, for lack of a better, teenage female daughter, 3 years older than my Leah that we just got back from vacation with. This is how I put it in my brain. And here she is in the midst and pain of pregnancy, obviously never been pregnant, doesn't have hospitals like we do. You get it. She's got to be a frightened child. Is that fair? In the midst of this pain and confusion of giving birth, her first birth, in the middle of a stable, a manger, a cave, whatever you want to determine that it is in your thought, the bottom line, it was a feeding trough that this bread of life was in. She, uncertain about her future, the whisper of judgment about her pregnancy all around. Come on, guys. God did it. I'm pregnant because God did it. Yeah, sure you are. Yeah, we'll believe that. And poor Joseph, can you imagine his friends hammering him about it? Oh, so you believe, well, I just can't wait to see who he looks like, because then we're going to know, is the mailman or the, you know what I'm saying? This was not a peaceful scenario, especially for this child mother. This teenage mother who was holding the peace that passes all understanding. We can learn from her, because real peace doesn't come from external things. It doesn't. It can't. You pay your bills totally off. You're happy for a second, but there's not peace in that. Because the next bill's going to come. And the next thing's going to come. We will never find peace externally. We won't. All wars stop all across the nation. It really doesn't happen, does it? Because there's no peace. Peace is so internal and so powerful. I believe Advent, though it's created by us people, I believe it's in such a wonderful order, because without hope, there could never be peace. And without peace, we get to joy next week, and then joy gets to love. And then the center here, we get on Christmas Eve, is the light of the world, who is Jesus. What a great order of service, because if we have no hope, we will never have peace. But that peace that we have really does pass anything that we can comprehend, because it's not about us once again, it's about Him. Here it is in Philippians. So, don't worry about anything. At Christmas time, don't worry about anything that you're dreading going to see your family members that you really can't stand, but you've got to go. How's that for being honest? Let's do all these white elephants in the room, shall we? Yeah, let's do that. Because that's where peace can be found. You can find peace in that. You know, the Apostle Paul said it, no, we're talking about peace between people. Let's just talk about that family for a second. He said, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everybody. What does that mean? That means as far as your heart is pure. Y'all know my story with my dad. We through a series of events, we never really had a good relationship. But I did walk in peace with him. Now, he didn't necessarily walk in peace with me. You get it. But that's okay. Because as far as it depended on me, I laid everything out that I possibly could. And let's be really honest. My dad died last year, in March, I think. And I love my dad. I didn't like Gene, but I love my dad. Now, some of y'all are going, oh, man, you're supposed to be a preacher. You're supposed to be perfect. I am perfect mess. I make perfect mistakes. I would say I'm proud of them, but pride's a mistake. So don't worry about anything. Instead, this sounds so corny, pray about everything. Let me tell you something here, right here, right here. If we would learn's not even the right word. If we would pray means communicate with God. It's not, there's all kinds of different, we've got seminars and stuff to tell you how, stop. I pray with my wife every day. I don't mean to Jesus, I mean to each other. We communicate every day with each other. Whether that's by face-to-face or by phone or by text, we communicate. So, therefore, I know her voice. So, if she calls me on the phone, I have a ringtone that's, you're my honey bun sugar pie, so I know it's her. I actually changed it yesterday to, you are so beautiful to me. Can't you see? She's hating this. I'm still doing it. Everything that I hope for, everything I need. You are so beautiful. Amen. Big finish. Right. To me. Because that's how Joe Cocker did it, right? Okay, there goes my notes right out the window. Where am I at? I'll get up here where I'm at because I'll remember. Pray, man. Again, that's communicate. That's what prayer means, communicating with the Father. It's the same as you communicate with one another. And you'll learn his voice and he'll learn your voice. Well, he knows your voice. You'll learn his voice, so you'll know the difference between when it's the enemy speaking to you and when it's him speaking to you. I, for years, didn't know the difference. I was always, man, God, you're going to have to help me. That was me that did that. Oh, well, okay, I guess I'll, But that's what, pray about everything. Everything. I've learned that even from my wife. I mean, when we lived in, I've probably shared this, but when we lived in L.A., man, it's impossible to find a parking place in L.A. It's impossible. But we'd be going somewhere, and she'd give me a start, turn left. I'm like, I ain't turning left because there's only 20 places over there. I'm turning right because there's 100 over there. Turn left. I turn left. There's a place. I'm mad at her because she was right. And when you're married, you don't like it when your spouse is right, See how that works? Doing a marriage seminar right now, too. So honestly, guys, and don't make it corny. Pray about everything. In everything that you do, pray. Communicate with him. And why? Because you really won't worry if you're connected. I mean, there'll be stuff that bugs you, but it won't be worry. You know the difference between bugging and worrying. Worrying is what keeps you up at night. Bugging you bugs you till you go to sleep, but you sleep like a brick. All right? So, and then tell God what you need. It's okay. And then thank him for all he's done. So don't worry, be happy. Pray about everything. I added the be happy, by the way. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. When you do this, you're going to experience his peace. Why? Because you're giving him the glory and not trying to take it for yourself and figure that you could get it done. I have no peace outside of him. I really don't. I can fake it, Ed. I can fake it. But I don't have any peace outside of him. But here's what, it gets better here. Then you're going to experience his peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand or anybody else can understand, by the way. Because some people, misery does love company. So if you're walking in peace and they're not, they're going to try to get you out of walking in peace. You know, so just understand that. So this peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Jesus. And now he says, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. This is important if it's one final thing that Paul's saying here to these Philippians guys. Fix your thoughts on what's true. Now remember that Isaiah prophetic word when they were talking about peace and you're going to have this song in the city? What did he say? I'll give you perfect peace if you fix your mind on me. So fix your thoughts on what's true. Well, what is true? Communion's true. The fact that he had his body whipped and his body is for our healing. His blood is for our total forgiveness, our new covenant. There's truth. So think on what's true, on what's honorable, on what's right, on what's pure, on what's lovely, and on what's admirable. I haven't broken those words down in the original language. I will at some point in time in my life. But think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. The only thing I know who is worthy of praise is him. So let me think on that. When my life is in turmoil because somebody did me wrong, I know I'm right. Isn't it weird how even when you know you're right, it don't bring peace? It don't bring peace. It just doesn't. Verse 9, and keep putting into practice, this is Paul speaking, all that you've learned and received from everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. He will be with us. And what Paul, just read all of the rest of Philippians and you'll see what he's telling the Philippian church. It's all about Jesus and not about him. That's the whole principle of life. We can walk in peace when we walk in the fact it's not about me, it's all about him. Because it really is. And there really is peace in that. Even when someone wants to stir the pot, you can be in the middle of the pot where it can't get stirred. You ever notice that? When you stir a pot, what stirs the outside? Get in the middle, get in the eye of the storm. Man, I'm in the midst of a storm. Stay in the midst of it. Don't go trying to fix it, you know? So, I'm almost finished here. I told you 30 minutes. I think I'm down to having a little bit of time here. So here's what I know. This Christmas, as every Christmas, but we only have this one. This Christmas, Jesus offers peace in the midst of all the turmoil. And again, I think in all honesty, especially in the United States, Christmas is not a big deal, by the way, in some foreign countries. Like when we, John and I, we go to India, I asked them one year, I'm like, so what do y'all do for Christmas? And they said, nothing. It's not, we Europe and us have the Santa Claus and that type thing. So there's a perspective for you. So to us, I believe more of the turmoil isn't just going elbow to elbow for the good shopping deals at Walmart or wherever, but I think it's the turmoil in the heart. I think a lot of us have been through some pretty horrific Christmases. I know there's going to be some in here that you're fixing to have your first Christmas without a loved one. I get that. Some of you, I go back to the fighting with the family. It just reminds you of how nobody's getting along. How can I fix that? I'll tell you a way to fix that. Pray. It goes back to prayer. And I know that sounds corny, y'all, but it's because we have created prayer as a monster of something that we have. Listen, I love the way Ed prays. And I'm picking on you if I feel like today, but I just do, Ed. Because you pray with no pretense. Ed will call me and he'll say, man, I was working a job in the... Ed's a plumber, for those who don't know. I was working a job and I'm knee-deep in poop. I don't think you use the word poop, but we'll stay there. And he said, I was so frustrated. He had no peace, is what you were telling me. I'm so frustrated. He said, I just got out of it. And I went and got in my truck. And he said, I said, what did you do? He said, well, I prayed. I said, well, what do you mean you prayed? Well, I just talked to God. Okay. And so there's no flower in just talking to God. And he said, man, you know, after I did that, I was just better. And I went and got, isn't it amazing how you were in the midst of, oh, this is really good. Now that I'm thinking about it, you're in the midst of the stuff. And you pull out of the stuff long enough to go talk to God. I like talking to God better than saying prayer. And then it so helped you that you went right back in the stuff and finished the job. So it ain't about the stuff, is it, Ed? Because we all in the midst of stuff, whether you're ankle deep or whether, you know what I'm saying, whether you can barely keep your nose up just to smell the stuff. We're all in the stuff. But there's a way out of the stuff. Man, that is fresh, right? That's even fresh when I said fresh. That's even funny. Okay, sorry. Holy moly. So, nothing on earth can keep us from His peace except us. And this is what I love Jesus. Here's His last words, and then I really am finished here. He's talking to the guys, and He's fixing to go to heaven. And they've been through stuff, and He's already told them they're going to go through more stuff, like we've been talking about. And then Jesus says, but when the Father sends this advocate being like a defense lawyer for you, someone who's going to stand up for you when you can't stand up for yourself. When the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, I want to make it clear to you that it's the Holy Spirit. Not anything you can do, but it's the Holy Spirit of God that's going to reside in you, okay? That is the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I've told you. This is Jesus speaking. So I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind. And peace of heart. What's the difference between the mind and the heart? The phronio is the mind. That's the Greek word for the mind. The phronio, that's where we get all stirred up in, right? The heart is whatever gets filtered through the mind and gets settled in. So that can be good or bad. The mind can be going crazy, but if we filter it right and we pray and we do all that and we get out and go in the truck and get out of the stuff, then it can feel, then our heart is okay. But He's going to bring peace to wherever we are in our heart and our mind. And the peace that I give is a gift that the world can't give you. Do you hear that? You cannot find peace in the world. You can't. And when I say the world, you know what I'm saying. The culture. You know, because we get so churchy sometimes. Well, the world. So we obviously immediately go evil. We're all evil. Stop it. You're not going to find that kind of peace in anywhere in the world. You're only going to find that peace. That's why people get so aggravated and frustrated when they say, Jesus is the only, He really is the only way. If you only want a way to peace and to love and to joy and to goodness, He really is. This is the only religion in the world that has no expectations on mankind. There's nothing you got to do but believe in Him and believe in all the crazy stuff He did for you because He loves you so much. See, this God of love puts feet to His love. You got it. So, and the peace I give you, a gift the world can't give. So, don't be troubled or afraid. So, what's going to keep me from being troubled or afraid? Well, His peace. Well, He says He's given it to me. Well, that means you have to receive it. Well, how do you receive His peace? You have to believe. Well, how do I believe? You just believe. But that is so hard. Yes, it is. Belief is the hardest principle of any religion. It really is. For us to believe that Christ did what He did for us because He loves us so much is ridiculously crazy. Nobody can love like that. It's a whole lot easier to believe I've got to go step 1, 2, 3, and 4 and then go to nirvana somewhere. That's easier to believe. It's hard to believe that somebody loved us so much, John 3:16, that we all know. that he loved us so much that he gave his son, that whoever believes won't perish, but not only have everlasting life, life, the word Zoe, that's all of life. That's life now. That's me at Disney World walking 10 miles a day with a 14-year-old. I'm 51 years older than her, and she's killing me. Yet she's the one that goes home, and her mother tells me she went straight to bed because she was worn out. Well, I was worn out too, but I'll never admit it. Life, Zoe life. That's what that means. For God so loved that. That's what makes this baby Jesus so important, because if we can't walk in his babiness, we'll never walk in his powerfulness. It's really true. The thing I told you last week, I'm still there, is I've always, until I had my own kids, I struggled with being able to hold the child. But that's, we need to hold the child. That's why Jesus said, how many times you got to come to me as a child, man? Come on, guys, children, just children. They don't have any filters whatsoever. By the way, I know there's adults that don't have filters, but that's a whole different story. No, children don't have any, they don't have any ugly. The word that we love to use is the word innocent. They really are innocent. We need to come to Jesus like that, because that's where that peace is. Our peace is found in with everything. I just have this 3D vision of Mary, and then I'll shut up. Looking at this Christ child, still in pain from the birth physically, still frustrated with family and friends calling her a whore, still knowing that Joseph kind of believes but doesn't believe, even though the angel told him so. You get it? Y'all, these people are human, all right? It's not just a Christmas story. These people are human. As much as I love my wife, it would be a hard pill for me to swallow that she got pregnant outside of me and then try to blame God. How cool is that? Well, of course you're going to blame God. That's the only one you could get away with it, right? You can't say it was a mailman. So these are human beings. And we've just created this manger scene. And good night, man. Look at this mama who's just has this crazy love for her child. Doesn't really probably even recognize the fact that she's going to follow him all the way to his death. But just is so in love with him. And this incredible peace in the midst of all of this storm. And then one day, that advocate, she was in the upper room when the advocate showed up, so that she could walk in that peace of what she sensed and knew of looking at that child. So we've had hope and we have peace. And it's all found in the Christ child. Amen.
Let's all stand together this morning. I just want us to simply sing this little song. Peace, peace, wonderful peace.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace.